Hey folks, you're about to listen to an all new episode of Glenn is Talking, Man from New York. In this episode, talking about everything from supply chain issues to the Great Resignation to major issues regarding the world of sports having nothing to do with the actual games themselves. And of course, the cult of the contrary in regards to the COVID-19 pandemic. But before we get to that, a word about our sponsor. Hey folks, welcome to another new episode of the podcast. Glenn here. So, what's going on out here in this crazy place we call the world? So, one issue that's bringing a lot of attention is the supply chain, which doesn't sound very sexy at all, but it's how we get goods distributed from ports to warehouses to stores. And there have been sort of a backlog of distribution of goods. And it's October, but there's a lot of news reports. People are like, what about Christmas? Are kids going to be able to enjoy Christmas? Are there enough gifts and everything? Now, first of all, we're in the middle of a global pandemic still. So let's be happy with the gift of this, you know, if we are being alive and being healthy if we can. So let's appreciate that gift first before we, you know, worry about consumer goods. Now the consumer goods that we worry about are food and other essentials. And remember in the beginning of the pandemic, how tough it was to get just a roll of tissue and other simple things. People were panicking, so people were sort of hoarding things and buying them in bulk because they thought it was a zombie apocalypse and they needed toilet tissue to get through it. Which it probably isn't an issue that's discussed enough on The Walking Dead. But then you probably wouldn't want to watch the show if every episode was like, oh man, we got to go get some toilet tissue, right? But still, but this is, you know, it's an important issue. But I was just thinking, like, you know, people worry about the Christmas holiday shopping season and all these things. And it's like, okay, great, but, you know, let's take a lesson from everything that's happened. Like, we don't necessarily need more stuff, right? I think we could want things. There's nothing wrong with wanting things, even things that don't seem important. But the priority, especially in these times, should be things that we really need. And everything else is sort of a luxury, especially at this point. And I don't think, you know, if your kid can't get a particular toy, I don't think it's the end of the world, especially during the pandemic and during the time of this instability and upheaval. It's like, let's get our priorities straight when it comes to those things. There's another interesting thing, jobs. You may have heard the term the Great Resignation. And according to some numbers, about 4.3 million people quit their jobs in the month of August, which is a huge number, and I think it's a number that I think hasn't been seen before. And if you follow not necessarily business news, which has been covering it, but I think a lot of like YouTube and vloggers, you've heard a lot about the Great Resignation. And people wanting maybe better compensation for the work they do. And also people wanting a better lifestyle. You see a lot of people who quit because they were working remote, you know, at home. And a lot of companies were like, hey, you got to get back to the office. And a lot of people said, I don't want to come back to the office. I like working in my pajamas and spending time with my children or my pets. Or being able to make my own lunch in my own kitchen every day. So a lot of people, you know, are quitting for lifestyle reasons. A lot of people are quitting because the jobs they do have don't give them enough money. They don't make enough money. So you have this really almost seismic shift in, I think, people's perspective and consciousness. People, you know, I think people were so sort of gravitated to their work and their labor because it was thought it was going to produce results. And I think people have decided that, hey, you know what? I'm working really, really hard, but I'm not really making the money I think I should, and not living the life I really want to. You know, I'm not working to live, I'm living to work. So I think, you know, and a lot of times economists are like, why are people quitting? Why are they doing this? Well, they're quitting because their jobs suck and they want to make more money. I mean, it's kind of simple in that manner. And you hear stories of companies saying we can't find anyone, no one wants to work. And people want to work, but I think they want to get paid a fair amount of money. And they want to be valued. They want to be treated with a little bit of respect. Right, they want to be treated like a human being at least, not treated like cattle. And I think, you know, this past 18 months really just had people sort of change their focus. Like, okay, what do I really want? What do I really value? What makes me happy? And also people just say, hey, I want, pay me what I'm worth. And you see, I think John Deere, the company that makes lawnmowers and other equipment, their workers are going on strike, I believe. Kellogg's, the cereal company, workers are on strike. There's about to be a strike in Hollywood, in production, people who, you know, make sure behind the scenes to do everything. So something's going on. Like, people kind of just like, they want better, and they deserve better. So that's an issue that's been going on this week. Now, let's talk about sports, or kind of talk about sports. So two of the biggest news stories this past week are sports related. The first one has to deal with the NFL, the National Football League. John Gruden, head coach and the top guy for the Raiders, the former Oakland Raiders, at one point Los Angeles Raiders, before the Oakland at, and then now currently the Las Vegas Raiders. So John Gruden resigned from his post after an email scandal about almost a decade worth of emails that was John Gruden had exchanged with another football executive. Now, most of these emails took place when John Gruden was actually a broadcaster. And if you don't know who John Gruden is, he's a football coach. He won the Super Bowl. He's kind of more known for his personality, right? He's a guy who's like, he kind of made for TV. And so John Gruden was in sort of these back and forth emails saying derogatory things almost about anyone you could think of. From, you know, referring to the head of the Players Association, the NFL's union for players, referring to his lips as being like Michelin tires. Now, the man he's referring to is a black man. And when you are, you know, these sort of old tropes, when you are dealing with sort of the physical features of black people, which is, I mean, this is 2021, and this guy, even though this email was a couple years ago, sound like he's in the 1950s or something. Or even the 40s, I mean. So he says these derogatory things. And then he talks about, he doesn't think women should be referees in the NFL. He doesn't think gay people should be in the NFL. He called derogatory names to the commissioner of the NFL. And slandering things. So he couldn't stay. Even though there were people like, oh no, this is cancel culture again. He said this in the email only. You're going to get fired for emails? Well, yeah, I think if one thing, you're a bigot. Okay, you're gonna be a bigot and you're gonna say stupid things. We expect there to be bigots, right? We expect there to be idiots. But to document your bigotry is a supreme act of idiocy. Meaning you're sending emails to people. These people, and from what I understand, this is from like a work email to another work email. So this isn't a private conversation in a private room. So, like, how dumb are you to think there shouldn't be any sort of like accountability for this? And so I hate people defending, like, oh, you know, how can you judge someone for emails? Well, the fact that he thought it was proper to talk like this and send in an email, that's enough anyway for someone to be forced to resign. So I just think it's, you know, this isn't nothing to do with cancel culture. This has to do with the fact that you got caught, and this is the way things go. Now the other big story has to do with the NBA. Kyrie Irving, superstar point guard, plays with the Brooklyn Nets here in New York. Now he doesn't want to get the vaccine. And he's been kind of vocal about not wanting to get the vaccine. Now, of course, this makes things difficult because here in New York, certain laws and regulations, he wouldn't be allowed to practice or play with his team. And he wouldn't be able to play it in home games. Now, maybe on the road he could, but his team said, you know what, you can't play at all. If you're not going to get the vaccine, then you just can't play at all. And this is sort of another conversation. There are people who are on Kyrie's side who say, hey, it's his personal decision. And he says his personal decision. But he's also said he's the voice of the voiceless. He's speaking up for people who don't want to get the vaccine. Which is, you know, I think I said this before. If you don't want to get the vaccine, you don't get the vaccine. But now you can't complain that you're not allowed to participate in certain aspects of society. Especially when we are in a global health crisis. And we're trying to mitigate the damage that this virus can cause. We're trying to preserve and safeguard our healthcare system, which has been stressed to the max on many levels. So we're in a crisis, and we're trying to deal with the crisis. And so people say, well, this is my personal choice. Okay, this is your personal choice, and now your employer and others have a choice to make. And they made a choice that you can't be around. And so, and we have this thing, and I probably should do a separate episode about this, but I just refer to it now. What I like to call the cult of contrary, sort of the cult of the contrary, right? Where anyone who says something that goes against the so-called status quo is automatically lauded as someone who is brave and sort of noble, which is, you know, in many ways it's not something that is noble or brave just for the sake of bravery, because what is your reasoning? What is your positioning? And for people who are part of the cult of the contrary, their whole point seems to be just having a different opinion just for the sake of having a different opinion or a different view. It's very ego-fueled. I mean, some of these people, if there was a statement saying, you know what, we believe that people should take, you know, deep breaths once a day. They'd be like, no, I'm not going to take a deep breath. In fact, I'm not going to breathe at all. How dare you tell me how to breathe? These are people who just, whatever that is suggested as something that you should do, they're going to say, I'm not going to do it. And they're going to sort of dress it up as some great fight of freedom. And all of this is sort of this ego field. And it's sort of this sort of false intellectual sort of thing where it's like, look, I have some other knowledge. Now, look, there's nothing against being a skeptic, a healthy skeptic. There's nothing wrong with saying, okay, wait a second. Let's pause for a second, take a look. But when your skepticism is really only fueled by your ego and fueled by the need to either feel special or to feel like you have acquired some more significant information or wisdom than other people, then that's just foolishness. And it's very easy for anyone to sort of rebel and then be lauded as, oh my God, this person is a hero, instead of sort of the merits of the argument. And the sort of, you know, I think if you take an objective view, the merits of this particular argument when we're dealing with Mr. Kyrie Irving, don't really pass the test. They just don't, to me. You may be someone listening to you. You might be like, well, I don't want to get the vaccine. I don't think it's safe. I don't want anyone telling me what to do with my body in any significant manner, right? So, okay, yes. But for that freedom, that personal freedom, freedom isn't free, right? Freedom does have a price, right? Because if you look at from the Civil War to the Revolutionary War, to almost any battle or conflict, freedoms and rights are things that had to be fought for. There was struggle, there was sacrifice, there was bloodshed. So if you're going to take a stand and say, well, I'm not doing it and I don't like to do it, then you have to be prepared that there might be some consequences for that. Especially, like I said, when you're dealing with a crisis, a public health crisis, where you have, you know, over 700,000 people here in the United States alone who have died. That's not even counting the global. Then it gets into the millions, right? But we're talking about, like, here, United States of America, 700,000 people. If you've seen just the stories from people who work in healthcare systems dealing with ICU overload, the beds, not having enough beds for any patient, not just people who have COVID, but people who just have other issues, who can't get the proper healthcare that they need. And the fact that the majority of people who are in these beds are unvaccinated. So this is a public health crisis. So if you don't get the vaccine, yes, you are. If you don't get the vaccine, then you are contributing to there being a crisis. You are contributing to the damage that it's causing. That's just a fact. I don't know what else to tell you. And I think we've sort of exhausted all the arguments, right? I think we've pleaded. We sort of tried to champion people sort of to their better nature, right? We try to say, hey, do it for your neighbor, do it for your family, do it for your kids, do it for America. And people's like, no. And then there's some cases where we'll give you some money. We'll give you stuff to do. And people are like, no. And then it's like, okay, well, if you want to keep your job, then you take it. And some people are still like, no. All right, then. Well, then what else? What can we do? Except, like I said, I don't even think the argument is worth having anymore, or trying to irrational, because we have so many people. At this point, it's become a religion. The anti-vax position has become a religion. And if you know anything about religion, you know you can't argue. You can't argue religious people out of their beliefs, no matter what. It becomes an article of faith. So at this point, we're sort of wasting our breath. Even continuing to have the debate about the merits of public health and safety and the vaccine. It's like, right at this point, we're wasting our breath. Even discussing it, it's time to shift the argument in a different direction and not even have the argument. Just be like, hey, this is what it is. You don't want it, then you don't get to participate fully in society because you are contributing to the problem that is inflicting society at this point. It's simple like that. And people, they want to do everything but, like, and it's weird because people are so against the vaccine, but they're excited about experimental pills. Like Merck has worked on a pill to help people deal with, if they contracted COVID, they want to take other, you know, alternative things that are also pharmaceuticals, that are also things that haven't been tested or studied. They're okay with that. They're okay with taking these risks. But this particular risk, they won't take. Simply because someone has said, you need to take this risk, supposedly, right? They can't take this. That's too much of a risk. But they'll choose something else that's even riskier, even more unknown, That's because they just can't handle the idea of being told that they need to do something. They just can't. It's ego. And you know, like I said, I think we wasted too much time arguing the merits. Because at some point you can't really have a thoughtful argument or debate with a brick wall. You can make all the beautiful points you want. You can be passionate about it, but at the end of the day, the brick wall is gonna be a brick wall. So what can you do? In fact, Andrew, and I think yes, people are exhausted about the pandemic. You know what? I really wish there was something else dominating the zeitgeist instead of this pandemic. I would love to get back to just what we consider normal and not having to worry, I hate going out and somewhere and I'm like, okay, this person doesn't have a mask on, or they have a mask on, it's underneath their nose, they can't, you know, like, I would love to not even be concerned about that, or being in places where people were not abiding by the rules, and you're thinking, okay, this person vaccinated, they're not vaccinated, what's going on? It would be great not to even have to consider any of those things, or it'd be, you know, it'd be great just to go back to what we call normal. But we really can't do that until more people buy in and get into the battle. Because at this point, people, you're not just like not in the fight, but you are basically you're a soldier for COVID-19. And these are the people who don't want to do anything. And I talked about them before. These are people who they don't want to get the vaccine. They don't want to wear masks. They don't want to practice social distancing. They don't want to do anything. These people are the COVID-19 soldiers. That's the army that they've enlisted in. And this stance has become part of their identity, and it's become their religion. So it's really, like I said, I think have any arguments about it anymore. I know Dr. Sanjay Gupta went on Joe Rogan the other day. And I know some people say he shouldn't have went, some people say he should have went. And I kind of lean towards probably shouldn't have went, because what was the point? Was any argument going to be made there that would have swayed the conversation in a meaningful manner? No, I don't think so. And I do think it is really interesting how there are a lot of prominent people who have taken sort of this stance, who they've got the vaccine, they are wherever their workspaces, whatever television networks or broadcasting operations they are affiliated with, are abiding by protocols and standards to mitigate and prevent disease, right? They're doing all these things. So these people, they're living one way but telling you another. This is the equivalent of the minister on Sunday telling you to live right and, you know, donate your money to the poor, and the minister is out like at a strip club the night before, you know, drinking champagne and sticking, you know, dollars in G-strings, you know. I mean, this is the equivalent of that. So you got people who are sort of monetized and made their brand sort of being these sort of anti-this and anti-that. But in their real life, they're taking vaccines and they're practicing protocols and doing all these things. But they're building brands and making money, which is a very obscene thing to do. Is that a surprise? Not really a surprise. Is it disappointing? Of course it's disappointing. Because you would hope that certain situations, certain scenarios, people could be like, you know what, this is something important going on, let's get through it together. And you know what, let's not be too doom and gloom. Most people are, most people are following protocols, and they're getting the vaccine, and they're, most people are doing the right thing and trying to get through this. There's a very loud minority who are receiving most of the attention, really. And in fact, we should, a lot of these news stories, they say, well, these workers refuse to get it. Even in reality, it's like maybe 10% of some companies somewhere don't want to get the vaccine or don't want to. But we're focused on them, but not the 80% who went through it. The 80% for even because they did it, because they were eager to do it. It's like, hey, not really much of a choice, but hey, you know what? What's the big deal, right? But we've had this outsized, over sort of too much attention on the very loud, like, oh, because that makes for good. It makes for good attention. Right, it makes for a good story. So that's what gets the most attention. And you know, it could be a process with maybe like only half a dozen people, but that will get the attention. And it, you know, it's crazy, right? It's all of it has gotten so crazy. And exhausting. And all of this is happening on top of a world where everything else is, you know, we got so much stuff, other stuff going on. They're saying now that energy bills are probably going to be like 50% high this winter. So we've got, supply chain issues, energy issues. And we've taken so much energy, no pun intended, but we've taken so much energy and focused it on things that we shouldn't even have to do. We got some real serious stuff that needs our attention too, but we can't really focus on that 100% because we've got to deal with this sort of carnival / soap opera / pro wrestling event called, you know, the anti-vax, anti-science, whatever, this anti-everything. And I repeat, healthy skepticism is important. But skepticism just to be skeptical, or because that's your identity, that's your brand, that's your religion, where is that getting us? As a people together, where is that getting us? Maybe individuals are getting something out of it. But that's the thing, what I want, what I need. What about we? And that we isn't this about strangers? It's about we. What about your family and your neighbors and your kids and your pet dog and your cat and your, whatever the other animals you got? You know, I think there were two tigers that were diagnosed with COVID-19, and thinking Denver, right? The Denver Zoo or something. What about your favorite tigers at the zoo? Don't you care about them? But you know, this is where we're at, and it's October, and people are like, what if the kids don't get their favorite toys for Christmas? Well, how about we keep the kids alive and safe? How about that for a Christmas gift? That sounds great. Am I being over the top? I feel like this is real. This is being authentic. This is what's going on. Right? It's like, come on, people. Let's be real. Let's cut the BS. So on that note, I'm gonna call it a wrap. You know, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. You find it in the podcast notes. You can email me, podcast@manglenn.com. You know the deal, man with two N's, Glenn with two N's. Also, Venmo. If you would like to Venmo, if you'd like to buy this podcast host a cup of coffee and a donut, or perhaps two donuts and a cup of coffee, Or perhaps you just want me to be quiet and you want to bribe me to be to shut up. Bribery is accepted. You can find me on Venmo with the handle at manglenn, man with two N's, Glenn with two N's. I want to thank you for listening. Take care of yourself.